up, y'all? It's your girl, KC. So, man, happy 2014. And we got to tell you, the team is getting together from time to time to handle these roundtables. But every now and again, we cannot pull the crew together because life happens. What you gonna do? Happens to all of us. So this week, we are bringing you a special episode that's really just Chris and I shooting the shit, having a conversation about time that we were spending together watching one of our new favorite TV shows, Iyanla Van Zandt's Fix My Life. And the conversation just spiraled from there. We hope you enjoy. Thank you always for supporting us. We appreciate you. Of course, you can find us on blackisonline.com, on Twitter at blackisonline, on Facebook at blackismagazine, and always give us a call at the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can email me personally at kc@blackisonline.com. Check it out. Peace. Iyanla Van Zandt and her show on the OWN Network, Fix My Life, and how we happened to catch like a Fix My Life marathon when we were having like a family communal sick day. Actually, you and Eli were sick and I was playing Nurse Nan to my two men. I got up at the crack of dawn and put on a pot of soup.
Yeah, we appreciate it for that.
Tea with lemon and cayenne and everything. Anyway, but we caught the Iyanla Van Zandt Fix My Life random marathon.
Yeah, it's like 6 episodes.
Oh my God. Like, if we did not make the deliberate choice to say, okay, we're going to stop watching television now and do something else, we would have sat there for 6 hours and watched every single episode.
And we had watched some of her stuff beforehand.
Yes.
You know, but we weren't, you know, we were like, oh, this stuff is good. We were like, oh, Iyanla's on. Let's turn it on. And
yeah,
man, she was going in on folk.
Yeah. I think what I like most about Iyanla's show is that I actually think this is real deal. Mm-hmm. You know, we get a lot of reality TV show that is heavily scripted and it feels like it's heavily scripted. But her show feels raw and authentic. I think she goes into it knowing what she's going to say, perhaps, or has an inkling of where she's going to go. But I definitely feel like we catch her catching other people off guard.
Yeah. You know, when she first started the show, I wasn't sure and watched a couple episodes. I'm like, you know, in the DMX episode and all that. But I mean, when she's doing like regular people.
Yes.
You're like, wow. Like, yes. Where do you find these people, for one?
Yes. Like, there's a couple of episodes that stand out to me. The one where she's talking to the husband and wife, and the husband is a minister, and the wife is the first lady, of course. And the husband slash minister has slept with, like, a gang of women in the church.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all the women still go to the church. And he's like in the pulpit looking at his wife and looking at all the women that he slept with. He's actually had a child with one of the women. Like, it was crazy. And Iyanla broke him down, had him in his church on his knees. She told him, kneel, lay prostrate on the ground. Kneel before the God that you serve. And that man could do nothing but like weep and get down on his knees. That one stands out to me. The one that we saw that day with the family.
Oh, the one where the husband didn't tell his wife that he was going to bring his whole damn family to live in the house with him.
14 people.
And like 9 children.
Yeah. And 14 people moved into the house. And he gave his wife a day heads up. And it was having the craziest impact on their marriage, and the people who were living there were ungrateful and catching an attitude with the lady of the house. And Iyanla kept getting back to that point when she was asking them questions and they were making their complaints. And she's like, okay, so all of this is in reference to the lady of the house.
Right.
So you live in
her house.
Her house. But you don't like her attitude. Interesting. She forever says things like that.
Yeah, she likes digging around. I give her that. She comes in, has a little homework, and she just plays and kind of sees what's up. That situation was just foul because I'm like, hold up. Like, were you raised? I was like, you must not have been really raised in no black family. Because I'm like, you know damn well that if your wife ain't give you permission for the shit, it ain't going down. I was like, you really inviting like double digit people into y'all house.
Aw, baby. All of those supposed alpha men are going to hear you say that and be like, oh, this dude, Chris, he don't run his house. He talking about you got to ask the woman for permission.
Dude, you bringing in your family with kids, and then we find out that she lost a baby.
Yeah.
And you like, and then you bring it in like children.
It's a whole situation.
Come on, man. We like all of them is like, oh, you just told her. And then acting like she's supposed to be cool and y'all relationship was going to be straight. I'd be pissed the hell off. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm just bringing in some folk in the house. They staying here. Like,
and there's 14 of them. That's the part of it that's ridiculous. And granted, these people did have a sick-sized house. Like, at first, I was like, oh, my God. I'm thinking about, you know, 14 people living here with us. And that would just be out of control. Then when they showed their house, I'm okay, yeah, wait. This is bordering more on an estate.
Well, they can fit everybody.
They in
the
country
there.
Somewhere.
But I mean, you got like, you know, it's like at least 2-3 people in them rooms.
Yeah, yeah, they might be double bunking. But that was at least a 6 or 7 bedroom house. It was huge.
Which other one was good? Oh, the one she had with the woman in Detroit whose relationship wasn't working out, and she was like, my man was cheating and I'm mad. And
then
come to find out, you know, like, oh, well, I slept around before him way before that.
Yeah.
And this girl he was just talking to online.
Yeah, he didn't technically cheat. He did one of those anonymous online emotional cheat things because he was feeling some kind of way. And but she had actually cheated and had been persecuting him for her guilt.
Yeah, like calling him out his name in front of the children.
Terrible. Horrible.
Like, wow.
Awful. But yeah, I think if we talk about, can we talk about some of the things that, and I want to make sure we're saying her name right. Iyanla. I done heard every single pronunciation of it possible. What are some of the funny things or some of the standout things that you can think of in regards to her as a personality on the show?
I just love how she called people out. I just love how when they try to get all like, it's not my fault and you don't know nothing. And then she'll come out with some line. That just be like,
boom.
Yeah, check you.
Like the one that we saw with Selena Johnson and Selena Johnson's mother talking about how, because Selena was saying that her mother always cursed at her and her sisters, calling them bitches and hoes and things. And she sat with the mom, and the mom was like, you know, where I'm from, that's just how we talk. And the young was like, I'm a mother, and I'm coming from Brooklyn, and I could not think. I can't even imagine looking in my baby's face and calling her a bitch or a hoe. And that's a good one. And then anytime anybody mentions either losing a child or they're in a situation where their child is out of control, like wasn't there a kid on there one time who had like a drug addiction that she was dealing with?
Oh yeah, the one who he was living on the street.
Yeah, and he's like male prostituting out there on some ill shit. Like, she keeps it real. She'll let you know she buried a child. You know, she lost her daughter, you know. And so it's like, either way, if you've lost a child, she can sympathize with your circumstances. And she's also there to let you know that you can, life does go on painfully, but it goes on. And then if you are allowing your child to engage in reckless behavior, she's like, this could be you. You could lose your child.
Oh, what was the one that just popped in my head? Oh, when that little Christian couple who's, you know, had the daughter who was getting engaged and the son who was gay.
Oh, and
she came
yes.
in there and was just like,
I smell a rat.
Yeah. Somebody ain't telling the truth up in here. This was like 5 minutes into the show. I'm like,
yeah. She has a very keen perception and she's very intuitive. And she's a good judge of character. I think that's another thing about Iyanla that's so awesome. She is a great great judge of character. She can tell when people are lying. She can tell when people are not ready to deal with the circumstances, and she modifies herself accordingly. And the thing is, she keeps really calm under pressure, even though you can sometimes see that whatever the situation is getting her hot, is making her blood boil. She still knows how to react with grace.
Because she'll walk away. That's what I do. Like, if she's really upset, she'll just be like, excuse me.
Right.
I got to take a break. I got to step away. Because y'all drive me crazy.
Yeah, because what did she say about Selena Johnson's father at first? She said, sometimes you got to meet people where they at. And sometimes you got to leave them there.
Ooh, her daddy was a piece of work.
Oh, he was a bigger piece of work than
he was
mom.
Like an old school, but he was one of them old school. Like, I just seed him up. I think that's like Lil Wayne inspiration. That's who he want to be. I'm just seeding him up, and that's it. And like, why you want me to be a daddy? Don't be coming here crying for me.
Right. Kids telling him that they, you know, were hurt by decisions that he made. So what? I don't care. Everybody get hurt. I'm like, oh my God, you are like the worst. You are the worst. But then when she's talking to him, he breaks down crying.
At the end, when he's trying to be all stuff, she's like, you know, I understand. That's just how you was brought up, baby. That's all right. That's
you don't know any better.
Right. It's okay. We're not going to be mad at you. You just don't know.
Have you noticed, honey, that the comment, you don't know any better, is like a really underhanded way of dissing somebody? Because you can say it really sweet, but it really is a jab.
Yeah, because like, it's like,
you don't know any better.
Right. Maybe you just wasn't taught to be compassionate. And right. We understand. We know that during that time period, that's just how men were. So I get it. It's okay.
Right.
And really being like, it ain't no damn excuse, nigga, but
right.
You know what? It's all right. And then he just was like,
AKA banging on your background. You ain't got no home training. But I think with that, we will both be down for Iyanla's Fix My Life show to continue. As long as it stays feeling authentic.
Yeah, I like that every now and then she does deal with some celebrities. That part is cool. I do want to see that T.O. one because I'm like,
yeah,
what is up with your ass? We know he got some back history. The DMX one I didn't finish, but I might have to dig that one out. I know that one was good.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's a nice mix. It does seem like when she deals with, you know, unfortunately, if she deals with, like, some white folk, if she's not dealing with black people, you kind of like, it don't hit as much.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, something about her is so very, like, black mother wit.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I don't want her character, for me, this is so very personal, I don't want her character to turn into a mammy figure. And sometime when we dip into helping other ethnic groups, it can be perceived that way. Mm. That may not ever be the intent, but it can definitely have that lens on it. Like, oh, here's the mammy to come and soothe the situation, put the Band-Aid on the situation. But I think, you know, as a younger woman, I read Iyanla and Sister Soulja were two authors in college that I read a lot. And her books, all of her quote unquote self-help guides were really, really rich and full of a lot of good information. And I hated to see her fall from grace. I was very happy to see her kind of resurrect on Oprah's show and them have that healing moment and to really hear what went down with her. Why did she disappear? Because, you know, Oprah will give people a platform for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, you done left from having Oprah as your platform to having your own show. She did it with Dr. Phil. She did it with Dr. Oz, you know, on primetime. And I think, you know, Iyanla was before both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I anticipated her being the next Oprah. And I remember her show that she had for a half a second. It was not on network television long. But I can say this. I like her in this forum
mm-hmm.
a lot better than if she were just sitting on the stage calling out.
Yeah,
guests.
She was just doing the doctor filling them out. It doesn't feel that real.
No,
it's good for her to like go into the environment.
Yes,
and kind of like I'm gonna sit with you in your house. And,
yes,
and talk to them. Yeah, she was just that whole Dr. Phyllis thing. She wouldn't. That's not her steez.
No,
and it probably would have. That's probably why it wouldn't have lasted. She's not a sit down on the couch type person. She need to be like, I'm gonna get in your face. And give you that real.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can only do so much of that on television. And, of course, you know, nowadays, you know, you got a lot more women as leads on television, whether it's reality show and all that. Back then, no. They'd have been like, oh, it's another black woman who gets to be the face. And, oh, we don't know if we want that.
Might be a little too much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you have never watched Iyanla Fix My Life, Chris and I would highly encourage you to do so, and we're going to tell you in a minute when and where you can catch it. But I think what's so great about it is it's like Catfish. It's like watching Catfish.
Yeah.
You know, she goes into a family circumstance normally and really fixes the situation to the best of her ability. I think there was only maybe a couple of episodes where some people really didn't have as great of a transition after meeting with her as they could have, but that was really on them. They were reluctant to do the work that was involved because right. She's going to tell you some truth and it's going to be painful. She'll call you out on drug addiction, alcoholism, even if you're not speaking on it. Like, mm-hmm. She can, like, with the family.
She
with
can kind of read and give you a little history and kind of see, get your background and be like, okay.
Right. Like, this is what's going down. So, anyway.
Oh, yeah. It's on the OWN Network. It looks like you're not having any new episodes until this spring.
Boo. If you can catch a rerun.
It's like the season finale, that last one was one with the father who seated up them three, had them three different brothers and didn't tell about the one about the other two. And
did we watch that one?
Yeah, that's the one where you had the young one who was wearing the scarf and the beard.
Oh, yeah, and then the father starts crying and boo-hooing at the end.
And feeling like, I wasn't a good one. They just like, you know, you saying you're going to be there and you not. Yeah. You say you're going to do this and you don't show up.
Three different boys.
Yeah.
And they're all grown now, mm-hmm. confronting him. Great episode. A good contrast to all the shows that we see that deal with fatherless dads, mm-hmm. like actually getting the opportunity to have these three boys fathered by this man and call him out on, you know, his responsibility and neglect.
Yeah, I like that the backgrounds of the family are all different. So I'm glad it's not like, oh, it's another single mama and all that. You know, she deals with fathers who, she deals with people who have both parents, and both parents are just foul.
Yeah. Or just,
or you know, confused,
misguided. You know what I mean? Like, we can say as parents, it isn't easy. And I know you've heard this before, but there is no manual for it. And even within our circle of friends who are parents, there are moments that we don't all agree on what the right choices should be for our kids.
Because kids come out, your kids are all different, different personalities. And
they're themselves. Mm-hmm. And they come out sometimes, or as they grow, they develop their own identity and sense of what it is that they want to do. And, you know, there's a part of us that always wants to mold and shape our children like they're little pieces of clay, but it's not the case. You can set a foundation for how they think, but who they turn out to be usually is entirely up to them. So anyway, how did I get to that point?
Like, well, we know who needs some Iyanla Fix My Life.
Who?
Justin Bieber. Eh?
Oh, Bieber. Now, that might be a situation where I won't even mind a mammy. No, I wouldn't mind a mammy. Yeah. What's going on with your boy?
He ain't my boy. That's
your
boy.
My students are rappers. So...
That's Young Jeezy boy.
Yeah, my little students are so... hurt. One of my students came in hurt, and you know, all the kids have iPads in school now. That's how school
that was the big news of the day.
Technologically savvy.
Well, that's one of the big news of the day, but yeah.
Yeah. And so she has him as her screensaver. She's like, I'm just so upset with him, Ms. Lehman. Like, he's so fine, but I just can't stand his recklessness. And I'm like, wow, you know, I'm like, yeah, he is pretty reckless. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you do with that.
I feel it's totally immature. Just he is. Like
Too much money too quick. Too much money and fame too quick, and not enough guys.
Drag Where are racing? His parents? Do you know anything about Justin Bieber's parents?
I didn't watch his documentary, so I don't know.
No, I'm going to Google. What's up on his mom?
But I mean, he in Florida drag racing. Talking about he got some alcohol, some weed, and some prescription drugs.
And he on the road with that.
Prescription drugs. When the hell did that pop? Like in the last 20 years? When was that? Where prescription drugs became the drug?
Baby, I honestly think prescription drugs have been around as long as people have been able to get a prescription for drugs. Really, pain pills. Because that's where it seems to start for a lot of folks. They get that little extra euphoric something, you know what I'm saying, off of taking too many ibuprofen or, you know, a Vicodin or something super duper strong, and they like the high it gives them.
Yeah, it just seemed like once they decided to stop whooping kids' ass when you couldn't do that, and it was like, oh, this kid got problems, let's give him some Ritalin or whatever, then it became like all the kids doing it now.
Well, Ritalin,
or whatever they're giving these children.
Yeah, Ritalin is for those super hyper kids. And the super hyper kids, the Ritalin is what calms them down. But I don't know. There's so many different types of drugs, prescription drugs. I don't know what people are taking. I honestly don't know what people are taking.
I don't either. This dude, I mean, it's just, we know everybody like he's trying to be black. I'm like, no, he's just an immature ass.
See, now let's stop.
I'm getting tired of that.
Let's stop. Driving around drunk is not a black thing. That's not something black people just do for shits and giggles.
It's like, oh, you getting in trouble. Oh, you won't be black.
That's not, yeah, because black people love getting in trouble so much. That's like one of the greatest complaints is how often, okay, there are situations, not going to deny, where people act a fool and get busted. But one, I would argue that happens for every race. We might just get a greater camera. We might get more camera time.
Because we call it acting niggerish, or, you know, as our parents just say, you acting colored.
Yeah.
You know, but that's us. We know when it's like, all right, this person is acting. That's how we define when somebody's acting wild and unruly.
Yeah, but wild and unruly don't always cross over into drunk driving. That's just straight up recklessness. That's, you don't care about your life.
Right.
When you do shit like that.
Because he can't say he acting black, because I'm like, dude, the amount of shit you did egging your neighbor house.
No, he just acts stupid.
That kid would have already been in trouble.
He acts stupid.
I already seen some players, I think it was Keyshawn Johnson, somebody else was like, good, get his ass out of here. Driving around, like, he is nuts.
See, I'm looking at pictures of he and his family now. He has some incredibly young parents.
Oh, you seen this little, like, happy ass...
With his sister?
Oh, you talking about Miley Cyrus?
No.
That's his twin.
No, I'm talking about Bieber. No, wait a minute.
Miley Cyrus, you seen the picture, right? You seen the one today where they showed his, whatever they...
His mugshot?
Yeah, and then they put it against Miley Cyrus' picture. It was damn near, like, all he needed was some makeup on, some lipstick and some eyelash, and he Miley Cyrus.
How about this? My student, the same one who had Bieber as her screensaver, comes and shows me Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball video. And at some point, the camera pans on her face super slow. And I was like, that looked like Justin Bieber. And she was like, no, Justin Bieber fine. She wished she looked like Justin Bieber. I was like, right there, she looked just like Justin Bieber wearing some red lipstick. That video right there is a hot mess. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're not going to talk about Miley. She done got enough traction. Is there anything else you want to add, honey?
Well, I know we're going to get into this a little more on the Sports Happy Hour. But I want to ask you, since this has been the hot topic, the other hot topic is Richard Sherman.
I don't have a problem with Richard Sherman. In fact, I love Richard Sherman. I really loved the raw emotion that he had at the end of that game. Because it got me pumped up. And, you know, I don't even watch football like that.
No, but you was in it. You were like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm like, rewind that. What happened? Because I did see him get pushed in the face. And because I didn't know the history between the two players, I just took it as like, wow, he just got disrespected right now. Like, he's trying to say what's good to this dude. And the dude just straight pushed him in the face. And then you gave me the background.
But what I do find interesting is all of the slanderous, racist commentary that has come out because of it. And I'm like, is it because the interviewer was a white woman, so he was supposed to toe a certain line?
Is not
when talking to the white man, woman.
No, people. She wasn't even tripping. She was just like, because right. I seen pictures where they were hugging after, right after that, and they like, they was cool. It's the fact that you had a black dude who, when you know, when camera's on and the clock is rolling, you can act like that all you want.
Right.
But once the game is over, they like stay niggerous to go back into in the form and just be quiet and don't say anything that's going to rattle the cage.
That's what the situation is.
Yeah, because you've heard we didn't get to talk about, which we will address this weekend, is he's come out and mentioned the fact that there's this code word now. It's been brought up before, but he's bringing Sherman? Light to it. Yes, that he doesn't like the word thug being thrown around because he feels that is the white person's way of saying the N-word in code. Instead of saying, you can't say nigga, so I'm going to just call you a thug.
I believe that. I would accept that.
And he went in there. I mean, they ridiculed him. I mean, they've been spending a week on this.
Yeah.
All they've been talking about is him.
Not even talking about the game.
Nope.
The upcoming game. They've sensationalized the whole, 20 seconds, 30 seconds? Maybe he's longer than that. 30, 45 mm-hmm. seconds?
He's come on and apologized since, which I feel like he felt like he had to.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably got a publicist now who mm-hmm. told him to come out and apologize. I almost wish he hadn't. But the thing is, once you know the brother's stats, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't knock his intelligence. He has some stellar academic claims to fame.
No, he's working on his master's right now.
I heard he had it already.
Okay.
My thing is, if he's a thug, then we need more thugs.
Yeah. And he even said, like, he had an interview today. I have to show you the interview he did.
Okay.
And when he's explaining that, and he was like, you know what? Coming from where I'm from, coming from Compton, coming from Watts, you know, and they're like, oh, you went to Stanford.
I didn't even realize he was from here.
Yep. From Compton. He's like, boy from Compton going to Stanford, that's an oxymoron. Mm-hmm. And you know that. And he was like, look, I know some thugs. Right. And he was like, I'm the furthest thing from a thug. And they'll tell you. And you know, he's talking very eloquent, but you know, all we want is that 20-second soundbite. Oh, is this how he really talk? I'm like, I like the fact that he can jaw jack with another guy and just talk some shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
There's nothing wrong with being able to talk shit.
If this is not what you wanted, you wouldn't stick a microphone in somebody's face right after a game.
Right.
If you knew that it was like, oh, it's just going to be safe and boring, you'd never do it.
No, but you want do the it, excitement.
You do it just to catch somebody slipping to say something, and you're like, ooh, we got it.
I forgot who said it, but they were like, if I was playing a spades game, I would want Richard Sherman on my team because he talks shit. Ugh. Like, he's just, because he was so, like, it did throw me off at first because he was just so confident. Like, when you put somebody like that up against the best, what do you expect? You know, but at the same time, I loved it because it just really, it amped me up for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see him play.
Yeah, I think.
I hope he kicks ass.
I think going forward, it's because there's been like a week off since it's 2 weeks in between, so that's just what they've been talking about. But I think come Monday, they'll really start focusing on the game and they'll stop talking about him and talking about his team. So can't wait for that.
Me neither.
So check us out, of course, on Twitter at Black Is Online. Hit us up on Facebook at Black Is Magazine. You want to email us, leave us your thoughts. Email us at kc@blackisonline.com.
Yep.
And also check us out on the website at blackisonline.com.
Peace.
Later.